Today we have the passage from St. Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 32. And it first begins with the Lord heading towards Jerusalem. And of course, Scripture says they were on their way up to Jerusalem because it was obviously a city built on a hill. So everyone always had to walk up to Jerusalem. And it said that the crowd that followed him were mostly afraid because they knew that the Lord was going to be arrested. There was always talk that he was going to be arrested and killed. It says the disciples were astonished and amazed and surprised that the Lord had set his face to Jerusalem, that he was going to his death. And so on the way, where Jesus is walking with his 12 apostles in this huge crowd, he stops, he pulls the apostles aside and tells them exactly what is going to happen to them. He gives them a detailed account of what will happen. He says the Son of Man will be betrayed. And the chief priests and teachers of the law, the scribes, will condemn him to death. And then, because the Sanhedrin, which was like the Supreme Court among the Jewish people, they were not allowed to bring about the death penalty that was reserved for the Romans who occupied that territory. They would have to hand Jesus over to the Romans, the Gentiles, who would then kill him. But the Lord also describes what will happen to him, and he really explains the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary, that he would be arrested, he would be mocked, spit upon, and scourged before he would be killed. So the Lord saw all these things that were going to happen to him, which even added to his sufferings. Because when you go through suffering, sufferings are difficult in and of itself. But if you actually see and understand what will happen to you, that adds the anguish, the torment, if you knew exactly what was going to happen. Namely, that you would be mocked by the soldiers, spit upon, scourged, and then killed. So the Lord knows exactly what's going to happen to him. But then he says, 3 days later, he will rise. So then he even predicts his resurrection. So he knows exactly what's going to happen. He explains all this to the apostles, who are mostly clueless. It really goes right over their head, because the next thing we see, that James and John came up to the Lord and said they wanted the best seats in glory. And the Lord was very patient with them. As you can see, he could have said, everything I just told you, were you not listening? I just said I'm going to Jerusalem to be betrayed, to be condemned, to be mocked, to be spit upon, to be scourged, to be put to death, and then I will rise from the dead. James and John were focused on the glory. They were focused on wanting to sit on these 12, on the thrones of the 12 tribes to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they go up to the Lord, and the first thing they say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Did you ever have your kids come up and say something like that? Mom or dad, I want you to do whatever I ask you to do. How would your response be? Well, if you had patience, you would say, well, tell me what it is and then I'll make a decision. And so Jesus says the same thing. What do you want me to do for you? And then they say, let us sit one at your right, the other at your left in your glory. The Lord says, you do not know what you're asking. Are you willing to suffer to drink the cup I am to drink of, which was the cup of suffering? Are you willing to be baptized, which meant to be immersed in suffering, the kind of baptism of blood that I am meant to endure? And in their youthful exuberance, they say, we can. So Jesus accepts that and says, well, yes, you will then share in the cup of suffering. And we know that James would later die as a martyr, put to death by the sword, and John would live a life of under persecution and exile, and died of old age in Ephesus, off the island of Patmos. So yes, they would drink the cup of suffering, but Jesus says, still, the seats of honor at my right and left are not mine to give. It's for those for whom it has been prepared. In other words, the Heavenly Father has in mind who he wants to sit at Jesus' right and left. And of course, it's my opinion that that would be the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. And poor James and John tried to bump the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. And really, it's not smart to do that. You don't want to bump the two greatest saints of all time. Now, of course, the fallout of all this is the indignant, the apostles, the other ten, become very angry, very upset with James and John to try to usurp these two best seats of honor in the kingdom. And they heard about this and they became furious at James and John. Now, it doesn't say it specifically, but we have to most likely guess that the one who was most upset was St. Peter, because he had a fierce temper. And remember, it was always Peter, James, and John. They were the three amigos. They were Jesus's closest friends. And here it is, James and John trying to bump out Peter and could get the good seat, and Peter wouldn't stand for it. You know, Peter was the one who took the sword in the garden and sliced off the high priest's ear. Peter had a fierce temper. He was a rough and tough fisherman. So he's probably the leading apostle that was most upset at James and John for wanting these seats of honor. So again, the Lord in his patience, his divine patience, his infinite patience, sits down with all of them, uses it as a teaching moment, and says, guys, do not be like the Gentiles who love to lord it over others, and you don't want to be like them. But to be a follower of mine, you must become a servant. And if you want to be great in the kingdom, you must become a slave of all. So true leadership for Christians is service. It's being willing to be a slave and a servant of all. And the Lord concludes by saying, even I, the Son of Man, who could have come here to reign and to rule, has come as a servant, as a slave, even to give my life as a ransom for the many.